vacation was coming to an end early because of the snowstorm, and they began to head home. Charlie and his parents got in the car, and they slowly drove the car down a twisty road, the tires crunching on the snow as they went, and the boy puffed his breath on the car window. The parents, however, were a bit anxious. They could tell this was more than a normal storm. Heavy snowfall came down, visibility lessened, and as they took the curve, the car started to slide. And it didn't stop until it was in the ditch. They tried to drive out of the ditch, but they couldn't do it. They tried to push it out as the mom pressed the gas pedal, but they just kept digging themselves in deeper. They were stuck, and they needed help. The good news is, a half mile down the road, there was a small hotel, and off they went and knocked on the door. The owner opened the door and said, "Of course, please come in. Come in and warm yourself. The phone is yours." And the owner of this little hotel offered them tea and cookies and urged them to stay until help arrived. An ordinary event, right? Not at all. In fact, don't suggest that this was normal to the owners at this little hotel, or that this was a small thing in an ordinary day. In fact, they never forgot that day. They had retold the story 1,000 times as if it was for the very first time. And who could blame them? It's not often that royalty appears at your front door. For the travelers stranded by the English winter were no less than Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, and young Prince Charles. I wouldn't forget that day, would you? But I would like to tell you this morning that something far more greater and wonderful happened 2,000 years ago. The message of Christmas is that royalty has walked down our streets. Heaven's Prince has knocked on our door. And God has moved into our community. He became one of us. Almighty God came down. Emmanuel, God with us. So, you might ask the question, why would God come down? Why would the creator of the universe, the Almighty God, the Holy God, perfect, come down to earth? Scripture tells us of multiple reasons why Jesus, the Son of God, came down here, came to earth. And maybe you have wondered, why didn't he just stay up in the heavens? Why did he have to come down here? Why did we need a Messiah? And why did he become human and dwell among us? And so these are basic questions, but do we really know the answers? Now, if you typed into Google, why did Jesus come, you're going to get a list of 5 reasons, a list of 7 reasons. Another article says 10 reasons why Jesus came. There's another one that says 12. There's also another one that says 31 reasons that Jesus came. I'm going to give you 5 this morning. And all of those reasons, even up to the 31 reasons and beyond, there is Scripture over and over again explaining and telling us why Jesus came. The first one is obvious, the first one of the 5 that I'm going to tell you this morning. He came to save us from our sin. That's an obvious one, right? Ever since the garden, when sin entered this earth, there has been this groaning from the consequences of sin. We have this broken relationship between man and God, and we have these broken relationships between people, humans, and other humans. And at one time or another, you and I, we have all chosen to sin. Scripture tells us this, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. And so Scripture tells us, but also experience tells us, right? We've all experienced the brokenness of sin and brokenness of relationships. We've all seen it in this broken world, and we live in that world, and it confirms it. Because of our sin, we've lost our way. And I don't know if you've thought many times about this. I have. But try and succeed one day in your own strength to not sin. It's pretty impossible. But with God, the impossible is possible. And so we as humans have sinned, we've lost our way, and Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. One example would be in Luke 19. And we have this scenario, this story where Jesus comes to a sycamore tree and he looks up into the tree, and who's that guy's name? Zacchaeus. Right? Let's look at Luke 19. Real quick, I have it on the screen, right? When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost." Zac was a tax collector, and in those days the tax collectors were hated because they lied and they cheated. It doesn't happen today, right? But Zacchaeus was a liar and a cheater. And last time I checked, those are part of the Ten Commandments. Do not. And that is, those are considered sin. And so Zac was a man who needed to be saved from his sin, from the sin and from the consequences of sin. And he was spiritually lost without Jesus. And so Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I have another verse, 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's also writing to us. And he says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying." What does that mean? That means, okay, listen, this is important. It is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul knew he had done horrific things, and he had this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus saved him from his sin, and he says, "I need a Savior just like anybody else." The writer of Hebrews gives us a glimpse of what Jesus does and continues to do for us in Hebrews 9:25-29. "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself." This is after he was crucified. "He entered heaven itself when he was crucified, now to appear for us in God's presence on our behalf. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are you waiting to be complete? Sozo is complete. Completely saved. Yes, we've been saved, but one day Jesus will come again and we will be incomplete. We will be completed. And he was our sacrifice. The other one in Hebrews is 2:14. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So the second reason Jesus came was to sympathize with our struggles. Now, it's hard enough to grasp that God, to understand that God understands my pain or your pain. It's hard to even grasp that he understands. Most of the time, we go to a friend or a family member and we tell them our struggle. We tell them about the story where somebody cut us off in traffic. Or we tell them how our boss didn't give us a bonus this year. Or we tell them the experience that we've had of pain and our disappointments and our struggles. We tell our friends that, our family members that. And often we post on social media, right? Why do we post? We post on social media, and to be honest, we post these things to get sympathy, if we're honest with ourselves. We want somebody to comment and say, I care. I hear you. I'm sympathizing with you. I'm praying for you. Because we're experiencing pain, we want someone to sympathize with us. And so Jesus is the one that came to earth to sympathize with our weaknesses. That may be hard to understand or grasp. But he came with compassion and he came with love for people. A lot of people like Jesus. Why? Because he was compassionate and loving towards others. And so the second thing is, Jesus came to sympathize with our weaknesses. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. But for surely it is not the angel he helps, but Abraham's descendants, who are us, or those who are grafted into Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them. He had to. Fully human in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And so Hebrews 2 says that, and Hebrews 4 says that as well in 15 through 16. I'll read it real quick. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you've struggled with depression or hopelessness or discouragement or temptation, or any type of hurt, Jesus came down to experience it with you. Are you with me? Jesus came not just to save you from your sins, but he came to empathize, to sympathize, to feel the pain that you feel, that you struggle with in a daily, day-to-day, everyday, mundane life. And he sympathizes with, he feels your pain. He understands. The third thing that Jesus came to do was to speak truth. Scripture says that Jesus is the truth. He came to speak the truth. He's having this conversation with Pilate, and Pilate is asking the question, what is truth? And Jesus has this conversation. In fact, Pilate says, you are a king? In John 18:37, you're a king then, said Pilate? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born, there's the reason, one of the reasons that I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. And Jesus is proclaiming that he is the truth, and everyone who follows me is following the truth. And he came to testify to that and to speak it. 1 John 5:20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. You catch that? And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And so, if you do your study and you find verse after verse after verse, it says, Jesus came because, or Jesus came for this reason, it will be a long, there's a plethora of verses after verses of why Jesus came. So Jesus came, number one, to save us from our sins. Number two, he came to sympathize, to empathize with us and our struggles. Number three, he came to speak truth to us, to speak truth to this, to our society, to continue to speak truth to us today. Number four, he came to satisfy our deepest thirst. Came to satisfy our deepest thirst. John 4:13-14, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will thirst no more, will not be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This was spoken to the Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman was an outcast. She was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. They weren't supposed to talk to each other. Jesus went out of his way to reach out to this person to tell her that her thirst is empty without Jesus, without the Messiah. She was the first one that he evangelized to. John 6:51 says, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. There's that word came. Came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So Jesus is the living water. He is the living bread. The deep void in your heart that you have tried to fill with stuff, you could go down the list, is a hole only made for God. When he fills that void, everything else is secondary. He is the foundation of filling that void in your heart. He is the foundation of everything that becomes, once you fill your life, your heart, your soul with Jesus, everything else becomes stable on top of that foundation. So if you find yourself chasing after things to fulfill you, then you will become more empty. But if you seek after Jesus, you will find him. And Scripture says you will be filled, you will be satisfied, you will not go hungry, you will not go thirsty spiritually. So Jesus came to save. He came to sympathize. He came to speak light, truth. He came to satisfy our deepest thirst. And the last one, the fifth one, which I think is the most important today that I want to talk to you about. They're all important. But Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father. Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father's love, the Father's will, the Father's glory. You look through all the stories of Jesus and all the interactions with Jesus, and you see the Father. You see His love. You see His compassion. You see His mission. Philip, one of His disciples, didn't get it. He asked the question, or he made a statement, and he kind of asked the question, but he's stating this in John 14. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Which he's got a point. But Jesus answered this interesting response. He says, "Philip, don't you know me? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? You have seen me. You have seen the Father." And so Jesus has come in this. He has come to show the Father by doing His will. John 6:38. He says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the Father's will, to do the will of Him who sent me." Hebrews 10:7. "Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" And so Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He also came to serve, not to be served. If you want to see God's heart, look at Jesus, how He served. He served every single person He came across. He healed, and He had compassion. He spoke to them with gentleness and kindness and love and compassion. He showed the Father's love. Mark 10:45 says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. And the glory of God is shown through Jesus. Jesus came to shine the Father's glory. John 1:14, "The Word became flesh among us and made a dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to show the Father's glory. And the last one, kind of underneath that category of showing the Father's love, showing the Father, is His love. 1 John 3:1, one of my favorite verses, because it uses the word lavished. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Father's love for us is deep. I had breakfast with my dad on Friday, and he initiated the time together. A couple of weeks ago, he texted me and said that he missed me and wanted to spend time with me. So we went to Denny's and we had breakfast together. There was no agenda. There was no expectations. It was just a sweet time with my dad. Now, I understand some of you have lost your earthly father, and I'm sure you miss them dearly. And some of you have strained relationships with your earthly father. So I can understand that. And it's a stretch for you to understand the Father's love. However, I believe that God sent Jesus, His Son, down to earth to give us a wonderful example of a father and son relationship. See, Jesus came not just to save us from our sins, not just to empathize with our weaknesses, not just to speak the truth and to satisfy our thirst, but He came to show us the Father's love so that we would have that relationship with Him. He came, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Eternal life today. That love was so great that He sacrificed His Son to have you as His son and daughter. So no matter what your broken experience with your earthly father or your abandoned father or your distracted father, God is a perfect father. He's texting you. He says, "I love you. I miss you. I want to sit with you. I want to be with you." Do you know that your Father loves you? Your Heavenly Father. He sent His Son down to earth so that you could have a restored relationship with Him. Do the people in your life know the love of the Father? What a great mission that would be. You wake up in the morning and you're like, "Lord, help me to show the Father's love. Help me to reveal the Father's love to someone today." Well, I think you have to experience it first. And if you haven't experienced the Father's love, Scripture, God's Word, shows you, tells you about His love, and He wants you to experience it. And then you could be a representative of that Father's love. So Jesus came for many reasons, many important reasons, but the five this morning are: He came to save us from our sins. He came to sympathize with our weaknesses. He came to speak truth to the world, to us, so that we would know what's right and wrong, we know what's truth, that we can have a light in our dark world. He came also to satisfy our deepest thirst, so we'd stop running after things that make us more empty, and we'd start to realize that He is the only one that satisfies us. And He came to show us the Father, the Father's mission, the Father's glory, the Father's love. So may this season, this Christmas season, may you experience His love. May you experience Him wanting, desiring to sit down with you and to speak to you and to listen to you and to have a relationship with you. And the reason why you can have that relationship with God is because Jesus died for you, because Jesus came and He died for you and He rose again on the third day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Your Word it says that we can call You that. Jesus tells us to pray like that. Father who art in heaven, may Your glory be shown on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just pray that our hearts would be open to You. Father, we just pray that You would minister to those that are broken in spirit, those that have lost fathers or mothers or loved ones. Lord, we just pray that you would minister to those that have struggled with depression and discouragement and don't even know what truth is. Lord, I pray that you would shine your light this season, that people who are living in darkness would step into the light of Jesus, and that they would follow you and trust you, and that they would be, their thirst for, their hunger and thirst would be fulfilled because of your love. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.